Imbaluva screen fronting Wolseley Street are not supported.
That's correct.
And are to be deleted.
Yes, I agree with that, yes.
Are we unanimous in our decision?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
That concludes item 7 on the agenda. We now go to item 8, which is D/2018/325 at 661 Darling Street, Roselle, and it's to install an external lift to enable wheelchair access to the upper levels. Now, on this matter, I have one person listed, Tony McLean. Tony McLean, are you present? Do you wish to address the panel? Hey, you better come down and say that on the record. Remember, this is being recorded.
Tony McLean.
Have you pressed your button?
Yes,
I thank
have.
You.
I'm the architect for the proposal at Tilly's. My clients accept the recommendations in the report. It's just, well, it's here through default, really, because it's an item of heritage.
Comment, Mr. Stapleton, or ask questions?
I think the proposal is satisfactory, Mr. Chairman, as it's essentially a clip-on to the existing building and at the rear, and the adjacent alterations and additions to the building can hardly be considered wonderful. So it's essentially a needed utilitarian addition which won't affect the main significance of the building.
Thank you, Mr. Stapleton. Any other questions from the members of the panel?
No other questions.
Thank you. Well, we visited the site today, walked around the back, had a look at it, and the stacked car parking, which will become even a bit tighter stacked with this proposal. But we understand that car parking layout has been approved and the installation of this lift simply compacted a bit. And we presume that people using the car park will be employees probably of the various tenancies in the building, and they can arrange to enter and leave their cars knowing the people whose cars they are. Right. All right. Okay. Well, we've considered the officer's report, and if the panel's happy, I'll give the decision.
Yes.
That the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority pursuant to Section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grant consent to development application number D/2018/325 for the installation of an external lift to enable wheelchair access to the upper levels at 661 Darling Street, Roselle, New South Wales 2039, subject to the conditions of consent in Attachment A, beginning at page 418 of the agenda of today's meeting. Thank you. That concludes item 8. The vote was unanimous on that matter?
Yes.
Thank you. And we now move to item 9, which is development application D/2018/402, 34 Rosser Street, Rozelle, New South Wales 2039. Proposed garage and terrace area over and plunge pool at the rear of the site and associated works, including associated demolition, new fencing and stairs. Now, I think, Mr. Stapleton, you're going to take the running on this one.
This is a proposal to construct a carport with deck over and a small pool at the rear of this property. There's a non-compliance and therefore 4.6 variation has been submitted. Is there anyone to speak on this matter?
Yes.
Could you come forward and sit at the desk and turn on the microphone and state your name?
Thank you. It's Mr. Mulheron, is it?
Mr. Mulheron,
okay. My name's Gordon Tench. I'm the architect for Mr. Mulheron.
All right.
We welcome the conclusion and the recommendation in the report. The only issues that we wanted to canvass, I suppose, were a couple of the conditions so that we can avoid possibly having to come back and request modifications to those. And those conditions were 4A and also 20E. And our reading of those is that they're contradictory. Having said that, our proposal as submitted doesn't rely on those two conditions. We maintain that it complies fully with Council's policies and DCP, such that the existing or proposed garage door width at 3.3 metres is acceptable under Council's DCP 2013, Part C71. There's a table C1.11.5, garage door widths. That shows and that Council accepts a garage door width of 3.3 metres for a laneway or apron width of 5 metres. In the council report, it talks about the width of that laneway being 4.55 metres based upon a stone crossing that's indicated on the survey plan. Now, under the AS 2890.1 2004, the assessment of the apron width relies upon the distance between the face of the garage and the face of an object that's higher than 150 millimetres. That being the case, the width of the laneway is actually 5.055 metres, as shown on the survey that was submitted with the application, as the stone crossing is only 20 millimetres high and the adjoining curb and gutter is only 80 millimetres high. So on that basis, we seek the panel's deletion of Clause 4A and also 20E, as we don't require the door opening width to be increased to 3.7 metres.
May I intervene here?
Yes.
We measured it ourselves this morning to be less than 5 between the paling fence on the other side and the face of your fence on your side. So I dare say the survey might be wrong.
It's 4.7, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We got about 4.7 metres, and that's with a tape.
And that was with a tape.
Yeah.
I must admit I relied upon the survey for that.
Yeah. Well, can you enlighten us on what 4.7 would mean? Is there a sliding scale?
Don't think I can do that.
Well, what was the standard you were referring to?
I was referring to the Australian standard 2890, the
car park standard.
Car park standard.
Yeah.
But the other standard I referred to was the DCP.
Mm. I have to say I would hesitate to park a... well, certainly I don't think you'd get a B99 car in there on the Australian standard.
No, B85 was the standard.
Yeah, you'd have to go
the auto turn.
But through a 3.3 metre wide garage door, I would think you'd scrape a lot of paint off.
Right.
Can I ask, yes, just around the subject, can I ask, to the north of the car space,
mm-hmm,
there's a landscaped area, isn't there? So that's what's proposed on the plans?
Yes,
it's hard
to
see.
That's what's proposed, yes.
And facing the street there, it's just a fence, isn't it? There's not proposed,
right.
It's not proposed to have a gate.
No.
No. So widening the vehicle opening a little bit's not going to do any harm, is it?
No.
To your scheme?
It wouldn't do any harm to the scheme, no. And I think just what we're looking for then, I must admit I was relying on the survey. If it's been measured at 4.7, I can't argue with that.
Mm.
That being the case, if we could get some consistency between 4A and 20E,
right,
because there are two different sizes of garage door width.
So one is 20E is 3.7 metres door width, and
4A is 3.75.
4A is 3.75.
It's more an issue of once we give it to a certifying authority, I can't have him bouncing back, so I can't enact it.
Yeah.
So, being the case with it being 4.7, I wouldn't argue with the widening of it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
are you happy to go with the council?
Yes, if we can get
3.7.
If the two can relate, 3.7 would be fine. So, if we changed 4.8 to read 3.7.
Yep, okay.
All right.
So, Mr Chair, the council report itself was asking for 3.75, which is consistent with condition 4A.
Yeah.
And condition 20E was incorrect if it was being consistent with the council report, which said 3.7, that should be 3.75.
Okay.
That's what the council report was asking.
I take it you'll be happy with 20E being 3.75?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Sorry, I interrupted you on that. Is there anything else you wish to say?
No, other than that was just a couple of minor adjustments to clause 50 or condition 53, B and D. On page 471.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Part B calls for evidence from a practicing acoustical engineer. I feel that's an unnecessary impost on the client when it's adequately covered by condition 58 on page 472.
Which item?
53B.
53B.
Versus 58.
58.
Not serious for in any habitable room in the adjoining property of which you're practicing. They both say the same thing, except 58 doesn't require an acoustic engineer.
Any comments from the council officers?
Well, I think most pool manufacturers now supply a standard cabinet, don't they?
Does one involve an enclosure and the other one the sound level, or is that the difference? Yes.
I suppose you'd need an acoustic engineer if you got any complaints, wouldn't you?
Maybe that.
Condition 4B does actually call for a soundproof box.
Mm.
So whether yes, that that's takes the issue out.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Why don't you just delete the requirement for the acoustic engineer?
Yes.
Because you've got a soundproof box.
And you do compliance. And there's monitoring.
Yeah. All right.
It's just a standard condition,
right? Yeah.
So we can delete the last sentence of 53B.
Yep.
53B. The last sentence of that.
Yes. Okay.
So the proposal is to delete the last sentence of 53B. Would that satisfy you?
That's satisfied.
To avoid that expense?
That'd be fine, thank you.
Okay.
And the only other one was with reference to condition 53D and the requirement for depth markers on the pool, which is something I'm unaware of in any Australian standard for such a small pool and a domestic pool.
Hmm.
Through you, Mr. Chair, are any of the council staff aware of anything associated with that condition? Any requirement for that condition? No? Swimming pool act?
It could be. Where else the swimming?
The standard one.
They had to comply with swimming pools act anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's delete that one.
Are you sure it's not Swimming Pool Act stuff?
Well, if it's the Act, they'll have to comply.
Anyway. Yeah, okay.
Swimming Pools Act anyway.
So
right.
So
okay.
If we take it out, it's not going to matter.
So it's 53D.
So the proposal there is to delete D, and if the Act requires it, you'll have to do it anyway.
Agreed.
All right. You've taken a running on this. You can make the decision.
So the panel visited this site this morning and looked at it from the laneway, and as we've said, measured the width of the laneway, and could not see any difficulty what you're proposing. The proposal is to. The determination is to accept
that one. Support of the contravention of you've got to mention that. Site coverage and floor space ratio.
So the panel supports the request pursuant to clause 4.6 of the LEP. In support of the contravention of the development standards for 4.3A brackets 3 brackets small b site coverage and 4.4 floor space ratio, after considering the request and assuming the concurrence of the secretary has been given, the panel is satisfied that compliance with the standard is unnecessary in the circumstances of the case, and there are sufficient environmental grounds. The proposed developments will be in the public interest because of the exceedance is not inconsistent with the objectives of the standard and of the zone in which the development is carried out. That the Inner West Local Planning Panel exercising its function of the council as the consent authority pursuant Section 4.16 of the EP&A Act 1979 grant consent to the development application number D/2018/402 for the proposed garage and terrace area over and the plunge pool at the rear of the site and associated works, including associated demolition, new fencing and stairs at 34 Rosser Street, Rozelle, New South Wales, 2039, subject to the conditions listed in attachment A below as amended by our discussion. And the amendments were to delete the last sentence. I think they're written here. Condition 20E to require the door opening of 3.75 to remain, no, to be altered to be consistent with 4A, that's at 3.75 metres, deleting the last sentence of condition 53. B, and the whole of condition 53D. All those in favour?
Aye.
Agreed.
Thank you. The vote is unanimous. That concludes item 9. And I dropped your magnifying glass.
Thank you.
And now we proceed to item 10, which is D/2018/77, Nicholson Street Public School, 21 and 23 Nicholson Street, Balmain East, New South Wales, 2041, installation of a demountable classroom and a tree removal. And the council staff have given us the applicable heritage significant statement. Thank you. And Miss Day was going to take the running on this matter. Now, I do have here
two speakers,
I believe, from 26 and 24 Gallimore Avenue, Drew Vaughan and William Atkins. Do we have Mr. Atkins, is it?
Yes.
Thank you. Just state your name and then
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Proceed.
My name is William Atkins and I live in Gallimore Avenue. My neighbour, Drew Vaughan, is on business in Melbourne and is not able to attend.
Right. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the panel for coming to visit our neighbourhood today. In principle, we don't seek to stand in the way of more classroom space at Nicholson Street School. It's an important part of our community, and our own children have attended and others may attend in the future. I've consulted, or as a group, we represent six of the residents who live along Gallimore Avenue and Brett Avenue, who back on to this part of the school. But we don't support the current proposal and council recommendation. In our view, the development would be harmful to the amenity of the area, both because of the location of the demountable building and the removal of a large mature forest red gum. By placing the building hard on the southern boundary of the school site, it would affect those homes in 22 to 28 Gallimore Avenue in particular, but also the view of the hillside looking up from Gallimore Avenue up School Street. On the matter of the tree first, in our submission we talked about biodiversity needs, but it's a pleasing shady canopy that improves a harbour facing hillside that is largely devoid of mature trees, and we just point to the 5 million trees initiative that the New South Wales government and the Greater Sydney Commission is promoting. To quote it, it's this year published statement was that we need more trees in our streets, parks, backyards, neighbourhoods and schools so we can grow our tree canopy from 16.8% to 40%. And it speaks of the benefits. Shade, cooler suburbs, more habitats for wildlife and even increase in property values. Not that that is a matter of our concern. The Inner West Council area is rated poor currently with 0 to 10% canopy. So we're a long way from 40%. If we look at page 516, there has been previous removal of trees from that site in 2003 and 2007. And control C9 and C16 require mature trees to be maintained. That is part of the architecture of the the planning principles applying. The tree is described in this case as not in good health. It's said to be on page 525 as in poor condition and would likely need to be removed in the future. Well, all trees reach their age where they do need to be removed. But I think it's really important to note that the tree removal is not there because the building is going to be there. It's for the convenience of the construction phase.
Mm. Do you need more time?
I beg your pardon?
You need more time?
May I have one more minute?
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure. So it's for the convenience of the construction phase, and that was flagged on in 462 of the original application, which just says that in delivering the demountable modules, it is recognised that one individual tree, the forest red gum, would require removal to provide adequate clearance for the delivery and craning of the modules. So the tree is being removed so they can just get the material into the site, rather than actually for the building itself to exist. So I think our view is that a new application be put in for the position of the demountable classroom on the northern edge of the site, adjacent to Clifton Street. This would continue a line of school buildings already in place along Clifton Street and would be a more consistent planning and design outcome. A further option, which I've just spoken to then, would be to set back the demountable several metres. It's already set back 5 metres from the southern boundary to allow the forest red gum to be preserved and potentially for there to be more trees planted. A question to the panel, could there be a development condition that a large tree plan be included for 4 to 6 trees of similar scale to be planted along the southern boundary if, in fact, the ultimate decision is for that building to go in the proposed location? Is that something that is available in a condition? So, that's the conclusion of my comments, but I'm happy to answer questions.
You're meaning screen vegetation, are you? Or
Probably more than screen vegetation. Trees with a canopy, so if you like, a tree plant. It would have the effect of screening, but it would also have the effect of shading. Mm-hmm. And meeting those objectives of a better canopy throughout the Sydney region, but particularly in the inner west area.
All right, thank you.
Just through you, Mr. Chair, just one point I want to mention. You talked about on page 516 how there'd been a couple of trees removed, one in 2003 and one in 2007. It's important to note, tree in 2003, removal of one tree, Casuarina, was refused, and that wasn't removed as a result.
Okay.
There's only been
thank
one
you.
Tree removal in 2007. That's right. It's one point, but I just want to make sure that
sure,
you're
thank
aware.
You for clarifying that.
So what does that mean in terms of our going forward? Do we add it to the consent? Or
the consent condition of the request, that's all that's... I think you're limited with the grant on what you can
do. Yeah, I know.
No, they've just got to agree. But they're not going to knock back that.
Okay, so...
Subject to the concurrence.
I don't think you can with the Crown.
May I suggest that there be an effort at least made to construct without chopping down the existing tree, but if that is in fact required, that they replace it with more than one tree?
We were just apparently there are protocols for a Crown DA that we have, like we can't insert that. A condition without it being agreed to prior. So we were debating whether we could make a recommendation as part of our approval or disapproval for a replacement tree to be planted.
As you know, today the panel came and visited the site. We also visited number 26 and 24 Gallimore Avenue at Balmain East, just your property and your neighbour's property. I guess some of the pivotal advice that forms part of this DA report comes from the landscape planner, the landscape officer at council. And I just wanted to summarise or to reiterate that person's comments. I'll just read them out for our records. The tree is a mature eucalyptus species, a possible E. dieni, which is a flooded gum. A wound was observed on the lower trunk of this tree. White mycelium was observed and is suspected to be armillaria. The upper canopy was observed to be thinning out with dieback present, possibly as the result of the fungal infection earlier mentioned. The tree is unlikely to recover from this issue. And very importantly, there are no other locations on the site to facilitate the installation of a new classroom. The site has significant existing canopy coverage, therefore replacement planting is not feasible. So the conclusion of the landscape officer was, given the above, removal of the tree is supported. And I guess having visited the site and assessed the issue, the panel is inclined to go with the recommendation of the council report. So just in summarising, the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in Leichhardt LEP 2013 and Leichhardt Development Control Plan 2013. The development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape, so the application is considered suitable for approval subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. And I guess at this point I would just like to supplement condition 42, which is on page 540, to say that the air conditioning unit for the demountable classroom must be installed and operated at all times so as not to cause offensive noise as defined by the Protection of the Environment Operations Act 1997. And an additional sentence needs to be added that the air conditioning units be located under the building. There is actually space for that because it is set up slightly on the site as it slopes forward.
Just through you, Mr. Chair, Lindsay, we have that same issue about the addition of additional conditions that haven't been approved by the Crown.
Okay.
My understanding,
yes.
If it hasn't been pre-approved,
yes,
that we can't actually add conditions.
Okay. Should all these
be
noted?
All that we can do is, yeah. All I can suggest is that it's a covering letter from Council,
okay,
that the committee gave consideration to these points as a covering letter,
okay,
but I don't believe that we can add them as conditions of consent. Is that right?
So our determination needs to include the advice needs to be given to the applicant.
Council, yes.
Council, in relation
to a covering council letter.
Council
request through the applicant.
Yeah. So
rather than a change to the conditions of consent.
Okay. All right. Do I need to clarify that again? Yeah. Just that advice be given to the applicant in relation to the position of the air conditioning units under the demountable, and that consideration be given to the planting of a replacement tree in an appropriate position on the school site that takes in mind the safety of students at the school as well. I'll wait till he finishes typing. Mm-hmm. So our unanimous decision is that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of council as consent authority pursuant to section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grant development consent to DA 2018/77 for the installation of a demountable classroom and the removal of the tree at Nicholson Street Public School, 21 and 23 Nicholson Street, Balmain East, subject to the conditions listed in Attachment A of the agenda, commencing on page 530. Is our decision unanimous?
And, yes. We could add on there that recommend that the council contact the applicant and recommend a replacement tree.
Yes, I've done that.
And the relocation of the air conditioning.
Yes. Yeah, I've done the advice already. Okay. So that's unanimous?
Yes.
Thank you.
Conrad Johnston, architect and owner of the property. I'm happy.
You own the property?
Yes.
Conrad Johnston?
Yes.
K-O-H-N-S-T-O-N?
Correct.
Johnston?
I have read through the conditions of the consent and obviously generally happy with the conditions. There's one, this house is undergoing a renovation and includes replacement of all the facade system because it's 1971 and has not been looked after very well, and the facades are getting replaced. The condition two in the consent, in the council conditions, recommends a tree, a replacement tree, be placed in the central courtyard. I agree to that condition, and that was part of the landscape plan that was submitted as part of the DA. It's just the timing of that is one thing I'd like to look at. It says within 2 months. That the location of that tree is where a lot of the scaffolding and materials handling will occur, and I would request that condition instead of be 2 months to be 12 months so that allows the major work to be undertaken to give that tree, the replacement tree, because there's actually more than one, have a chance to survive rather than be subject to the building around it.
Through you, Mr. Chair, the actual condition requires that it's be planted within 30 days.
Sorry, 30 days, sorry.
And you're requesting, it's the other trees that if they're damaged, faltered or whatever, are 2 months. So it's within 30 days, but you would like 12 months in
12
relation
months,
to that.
12 months, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And it's a most unusual house. It said 1971, I'm just reading the heritage assessment. Designed by Stuart Whitelaw architect.
So. Mr. Chair, I'm fine with that change to the 12-month period for the tree.
I think you are going to take the running on this one.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, well, we visited this property today and looked at the tree. The tree that's proposed to be removed, it's right up in the corner of a crook in the semi-detached, the crook between the two semi-detached houses, and although it's an English oak, it appeared to be quite awkwardly placed and inappropriate. There are photographs in our report showing it growing very near the wall of the building, and therefore in time may cause a structural problem. So the panel was of the view that it had it had little doubt that the application should be supported for removal. We've checked the statement of significance for the heritage item and can't find that the tree was pivotal in the building's design or any connection in that regard. Accordingly, the panel agrees with the council officer's report that the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in the Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 and the Leichhardt Development Control Plan 2013, and that the development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of the adjoining premises or the streetscape. The application is considered suitable for approval subject to the imposition of the appropriate conditions. Therefore, the if the panels are all in favour,
yes.
The recommendation is that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising its functions of the Council as the consent authority pursuant section 4.16 of the EPNA Act 1979, grant consent to the application number D/2018/431 for the removal of one English oak tree at heritage listed site at 8 Broderick Street, Balmain, subject to the conditions listed in the attachment below as amended.
What about the amendment of the condition for the replacement tree?
That's what I'm just looking.
Oh, sorry.
And the amendment is to condition 2, requiring a replacement tree to be planted in 12 months rather than 30 days, as included in the draft.
Thank you. And that decision is unanimous.
Yes.
And that brings us to the end of...
That brings us to the end of this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel. And I close the meeting at 6:08 p.m. Thank you all for your attendance.
Thanks.
And gang, yes, thank you all.
Thank you, staff.
Thank you, umpire.
Thank you, umpire. Thank you, ball boys and ball girls.
That house was lived in by the Grounds, Mar Grounds.
Yes, they lived there.
Son of...
What's funny, they didn't design it themselves. They got Stuart Whitelaw to design it.
Yes,
and, the Grounds lived there.
Yes. I should have declared an interest, Mr. Chairman, because Mar Grounds was my first lecture at university.